With me right now is Patty Dreyer, Portage County's executive, and it's budget time. Let's take a rough overview of Portage County's budget. First of all, how does it look comparing to last year?
Well, pretty tight, pretty steady. We didn't take the easy way. It would have been easy just to raise taxes, and we didn't take any significant leaps forward on taxes at all. What we did is we held steady in our cost department in a lot of ways, and then we needed to bump up emergency medical services in particular by 3 cents. So we kept our operating levy flat, we kept our debt levy flat, and our EMS levy is up 3 cents.
So for the average homeowner, this is going to mean pretty much same as last.
Pretty doggone close, yes.
What are some of the highlights in this year's budget?
Well, we have a couple of different themes. First of all, you should know that the budget is tight and it's balanced, and we have maintained services without increasing operating levy, and we've even enhanced some services in targeted areas of growing or anticipated needs, and I think that's significant. Our tax rate is 525. Our budget this year, then our county budget total is 1.7% over the 2012 budget total. So again, as steady as and close as you can get. Our themes this year, at least I define themes for this budget, health and safety, and then service and strategy. So from the health and safety front, we emphasized children and families with some elements of this budget, and I can get to those in a second. We also emphasize justice, emergency management and emergency medical services, dispatch, and the healthcare center, our Portage County Healthcare Center. And from the service and strategy side, we looked at continuing to provide citizens of Portage County with the kinds of services that they deserve. In addition, from the strategy angle, we applied fund balance in very strategic and appropriate ways in just a couple of spots. And finally, we integrated a strategic planning element into this budget, both for operations and then for physical space planning. So we have some very strong strategic planning efforts that are already underway that will continue, and hopefully by the middle of next year, we'll have the kind of plan that we need to be able to take us through 2014 and well into the future. This budget squeezes in all the areas that you can squeeze, and without redefining our priorities and redefining our directions, we don't have anywhere else to go. And I want to have us have a clear path charted forward, and we'll go from there.
You mentioned there's a few areas that are getting focused this time around. Is the healthcare center, any specifics on that?
On the children and families front, let me take that one first. Some folks have heard in the news over the last year that I had proposed that we integrate two units, that we integrate our child support department into the Department of Health and Human Services. It's not every day that a department of county government gets put under the wing of another department, and that's what we're talking about here. What we have done is continue our planning forward. We've got a few other steps to cross over that bridge, but the bottom line is this budget for 2013 integrates the Child Support Department into a new section of Health and Human Services called the Child Support Section, and it's in the Division of Children and Families, and a lot of these are folks that are also served by economic support, so food share kinds of families, as well as child welfare, and all of those units are in one division then in this new design. And what we're able to do, which is really significant, is last year we had budget troubles related to child support. The funding was cut from the state level, and we ended up being able to answer and find a sustainable pathway forward for budget with this integration. So instead of cutting 1.5 FTEs from this unit, we get to add a child support specialist. And that's all without increasing our taxing on the people for that same enhanced service. The other thing that it does is it basically puts more boots on the ground. It reduces the administrative duplication, if you would, and puts more boots on the ground serving the families. It be that the financial challenges are often contributing toward divorce, which is contributing toward child support caseloads up, which is contributing toward our Family Law Information Center needs are up, working with our Family Court Commissioner. And all of those mean that families are stressed and in trouble, and sometimes child welfare then is at stake. So what we're able to do with this integration of child support into the Health and Human Services, basically under the same roof, the Ruth Gilfrey roof, What this will mean is we're able to have a sustainable budget for child support going forward. We're able to add new resources for child support. We're able to co-locate the child support services with other similar services that the same families need, so it's more like one-stop shopping. And finally, we're able to add a child welfare worker, which we wouldn't have otherwise been able to add to help keep our children safe in this community.
The thing that strikes me is those numbers jumped really high, really fast.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And you know, again, we know that this is, you know, this is a result of the times. And we need to respond to those times because it's our responsibility to do so. Yeah.
Space-wise, we all know the Guilfrey is not exactly the biggest building the county owns. And you have a lot of services coming out of there. How are you doing space-wise in the county?
Our Space and Properties Committee is busy. They're looking at space. They're looking at the possibility then of moving UW Extension and the Healthy Beginnings Program from the Ruth Guilfrey Building out into the basement, but it's got a wonderful public entrance of our healthcare center. And at the same time, then that would make room for child support under the Guilfrey roof, which is a requirement in order for us to draw down additional funds and be able to succeed in making these changes happen for the children and families of Portage County. At the same time, UW Extension took a look at the other spaces that I had proposed, and it's looking very promising. It actually looks like it may be able to enhance the services of UW Extension because we'll have access to a kitchen for teaching healthy eating and all sorts of things that we wouldn't have had access to for the public to have programming associated with a kitchen over in the Ruth Guilfrey building. So I know you always look for ways. You look for the silver lining, and I think that we're all working well together to find our way. If that doesn't prove to be a suitable solution, we'll have to find another one. But we have an architect design firm taking a look at how do you structure this for the 4,000 square feet, I believe it is, that UW Extension needs. So we're making it work.
And we all know the county home has a lower level that really has no purpose for caring for the elderly, so it'll be a good use of space.
Yeah, it's a training center now. We have a training room down there. We have it's a space that's been suggested in the past, but we hadn't ever taken advantage of it. From the budget side of it, a couple other elements. As we look at the justice aspect of the budget, one of the other elements of the theme for healthier and safer communities, this county budget that are answering the requests of many, many citizens who came to a number of different meetings all about Justice Works, about the Volunteers and Probation Program, about Deferred Prosecution Program, and about our Family Law Information Center. And I know that those things may not be programs that everybody understands. I welcome folks giving me a call to ask about them. But the bottom line is we found a way within this budget to build a bridge to make sure that we could keep Justice Works programming alive. It's been shown to be of great value already to our criminal justice system, and I believe that keeping it going forward as we transition from federal grant funds to other funding mechanisms and designs is a really important piece of this budget. The other thing that we've done is I'm reorganizing the Emergency Management Department. The Emergency Management Department is that department that helps you and I be ready for disasters like the flood or a tornado or hazardous material spills and things like that. And what I've noticed over time is, even in my 2.5 or so years as county executive, that we compromise the emergency management mission, being ready, being practiced and ready, for our emergency medical services system, our EMS system, because when you spend time on one, it's at the expense of the time spent on the other. And each of them are growing needs. Each of them are unique. And so there are certain competencies of staff leadership in each of those areas that don't always come under one hat, if you would. And one person doesn't always hold both sets of credentials. We just happen to be lucky right now that our director of emergency management is skilled in both areas, but I don't believe that that will be a path that is a common path for the future when we need to plan for succession too. So anyway, what I ended up doing in this budget with the help of staff is to be able to create a deputy emergency management director position by freeing up time and taking the 911 technician duties that were rolled into that department and reassigning them to dispatch and reassigning them to planning and zoning, where there are more overlaps and a greater opportunity for integrating into those areas of operation. And then, again, that made it possible to convert a position to a deputy emergency management director, and adding only a couple of hours a week makes it a full-time position. We'll be able to work with businesses, with municipalities in emergency management readiness, especially as it relates to hazardous materials and, say, chemical spills that might result from a railroad car that's carrying chemicals that goes off the track. That kind of work is really important work, especially with the rising railroad traffic and the method of transport for hazardous materials today. This is also really important. It prepares us to be able to draw down grant funds from the federal government that are requiring us to be much more ready as it relates to hazardous materials. So anyway, it's all about prepping for the future. There's some other elements of it, but I'll leave those for now. And then finally, we're able to add a one FTE communications center manager for our dispatch, our 911 dispatch in Portage County. This is key. We don't have one single face of dispatch in our community at this particular time. And so this individual will be, you know, the individual that will assist us in working with fire, ambulance, and law enforcement across all the areas to be able to ensure that our protocols are set, everybody is on the same page related to dispatch, especially as our uses of 911 become much more sophisticated with cell phone and video footage and lots of different enhanced 911 projects in our future. This is key. Finally, it frees up time for our part-time dispatch manager. Right now happens to be a lieutenant in our sheriff's department, and that individual then will be able to direct time back over to more law enforcement training activities. So it's really a win-win, I believe, to bring us forward to address the shortages in staffing that our recent studies have shown that we have in dispatch. It's good steps in that direction, and I believe it's a good step toward a joint dispatch in our future. I'm really hopeful that we're going to be able to figure that out with our municipal leaders and our emergency law enforcement officials so that we can pair up resources and just do a better job for people of Portage County. We're going to have to let go of some turf when that happens, but I believe that that's the right answer for our future.
I was going to ask you about the joint dispatch. It's been in the background for a while, and City of Stevens Point and Portage County's dispatch are, what, 500 feet apart across the street, and it would seem logical to put them together at some point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got a capital project for $210,000 on the docket for next year. It's called Enhanced 911, and when you do that, when you set that system up, it costs you more for every PSAP, every point, basically, where the 911 calls get relayed to. It costs you more every time you set up a different PSAP, so why would we not want to consolidate, figure it out, work it through, and that's the right answer for the people of Portage County.
And it should save the money having one versus two.
Truly. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's going to do is it would pool the staff. It would pool the staff from one dispatch and add them to the staff of the other dispatch. And where we've had shortages in the 24/7, 365 operation, the bottom line is you have many more people to cover a 24/7, 365 operation when you pool those resources. But we'd have to figure our way through it, and we'll have to, again, let go of some preconceived notions. And I think we really need to try it out and work that through together. And again, I believe that's the right direction for Portage County.
Anything we haven't covered on budget?
We worked hard. I have to commend the staff at all levels, the electeds at all levels, in helping us work through this. We didn't take the easy way. We really worked hard to push ourselves to continue to challenge ourselves and not accept the fact that it was that we could just raise taxes so we would have more revenue, and then that would take care of the issue of moving us forward. Instead, we held the line. I'm really proud of our effort. I think this is an outstanding budget. Like I said, it's balanced and it's tight, and it does more than hold on during these tough times. It actually moves us forward without increasing by any significant way the burden of taxes on the shoulders of many people who are having, you know, troubled times and trying to hold their businesses and their homes together. So anyway, I'm really proud of this budget, and I believe that we're going to be very successful in moving it the rest of the way through the process so that we'll have it adopted and ready to go on January 1. I'm looking forward to a bright year for all of us in Portage County.
Next step for the budget is off to county board then?
Tonight, on October 9th, we have a county board meeting at 5 o'clock, and this will be a chance for county board members to ask clarifying questions about, ask questions, dig into this budget. I've been to several committee meetings since, and I've had many comments from elected officials who say this is just a very fine budget, and I don't know if there will be some kind of tough, different angle that somebody hasn't shared with me, but my sense is we're going to have a great conversation tonight. It's time for public input, so I hope any listeners will take it upon themselves to check it out. It's available on our county website. A copy of my budget presentation is also there. They can call our office, my office, at 715-346-1997, and I'm happy to walk them through, talk them through, or connect them with resources to learn more. There's a budget book available if anybody wants to step into the finance department on the second floor of the county annex building, and they can actually go and sit in a back room with the book and peruse it, so you don't have to only worry about seeing it online and so on and so forth, because that may not be the most comfortable way for folks, or they may not have access to the web to be able to do that. So we've got ways for everybody to weigh in, and I'm really sincerely hoping that many people do. As we move ahead here, it'll be early November when we'll have our budget hearing and move through the rest of the process, and we'll go from there.